So yeah, so this looks like a pretty big game deploying on choosing EOS as their home network. And we had this announcement here. Let me share some tweets for you guys. We've got one here, of course, from the EOS Network Foundation announcing that PlaySApp Games is launching on the EOS EVM. PlaySApp Games is a skill-based competitive gaming platform specifically designed for mainstream casual gamers. Start playing right away on PlaySApp.games. I got in there today. Very easy, of course. Blockchain accounts is abstracted away. You just create your account and off to the races you go. Eve shared a tweet about it as well, sharing that the next 1 billion crypto users will be onboarded by fun blockchain games like the ones made by. And no blockchain is better positioned than EOS to power the GameFi revolution. Welcome to EOS, the home of the next generation of blockchain games. So there you go. Pretty nice news for the EOS EVM. Here we have a tweet from PlaySApp Games, actually. Their first tweet in this thread talks about the EOS chain and how it's bringing a whole new level of efficiency and scalability to their gaming platforms. And then they have a bunch of other tweets about updates, general updates to their platform. And it's obvious that this is a serious team with a serious product, and they're releasing updates seems pretty regularly. So that's very cool. I don't know if there's anyone from the ENF that worked on this partnership that wanted to say a couple words. I see that Zach and Eve are not with us today. Those would have been my go-to guys on this topic. But there we go. Let you guys maybe click on over, check out the platform real quick. And of course, we'll be back with some more fireside action. Drew Joy back in the fireside chat asking great questions. Are they a game studio or a platform for others to build games? I think they're a game studio, but don't quote me on that. They've got a bunch of different games that you can play on their platform. Games are for gamers. That's right, CAC. Nice contribution. There you go. Steven Diesel says he believes they're a game studio that has a library of games all housed within one platform. There you go. So, well, that leads us to our next topic today. EOS EVM roadmap was just published like 2 hours ago. Shared the blog post right here in the chat. So the EOS EVM roadmap is unveiled. There's an image I'm going to share as well. And at the same time, I'm going to invite Steven Diesel of the ENF to talk to us a bit more about this EOS EVM roadmap.
Sure, thanks for that. So, hey everybody, great to be here again. I'm really excited to share the progress that we've made thus far with EOS EVM since it launched back in April and really where we're headed next. The big things that you can take home as you look at that visual is that that top row is really attempting to communicate the sequence of releases that we anticipate in time. And then if you kind of read the dotted lines and the buckets that it defines from there, it's speaking to some of the features and capabilities that will come over time. But a lot of the themes that you see here are primarily, of course, catching up on some of the EIPs that are critical to some of the core functionality for various applications, especially when it comes to account abstraction. There's a lot of endeavors going forward in terms of improving the user experience around use of things like the Bridge front end. And then probably most notably and most imminent is just some of the advances in the Advanced Trustless Bridge, likely by as soon as the end of September. USDT support will be coming to EOS EVM, which we're incredibly excited about because of its kind of linchpin position in enabling DeFi functionality. Really beyond that, though, as you look at everything that's out there, it's really about making this product a mature piece of software. We're still living in the 0 phases, not the full 1.0 just yet. So getting there likely by around the end of this year, and really excited about the progress that the team has made so far. But anticipating that next release coming up fairly shortly, and then we'll likely have another fast follow before the close of the year. I'm happy to answer any questions anyone has about what we have published so far and what some of our goals are, though, if anyone has any specific questions.
Hey, this is Drew Joy here. I just have a quick question about the 0.x releases versus the 1.0 releases. Is that basically 1.0 is when it's feature complete, or I guess it's already sort of feature complete, but.
Yes, I mean, it's a functioning live product. I think that there was an intentional decision to launch it as a 0.0. When it's bumping actually up to that next major version, it's specifically in acknowledgement of the fact that it's in effect a breaking change as it incorporates the London fork EIP compatibility. So that's really why we're bumping to that next major version as the roadmap is projected in that format. And typically moving forward, we can assume that we'll just follow kind of more standard SIMVer functionality, semantic versioning for those of you less familiar, wherein those major bumps will happen primarily because of those forcing functions, such as breaking changes.
So we are technically following SIMVer now, because in SIMVer you can do, in the 0.x release, you can have breaking changes on the minor bump. It only switches to requiring the major bump version on breaking change when you pass 1.0, basically. So, and that's actually the reason we have not yet done 1.0. It's still early stages. We're still waiting. I mean, it's all feature complete, but we want to make sure we have all the sort of internally, we want everything to be just right and mature enough before we feel comfortable calling it 1.0. And so right now it gives us the flexibility to do breaking changes if we need to without having to bump the major version. So far, we have not had to break compatibility, which is good. And I don't think we really intend to. Like, even the fork technically is, while it is a breaking compatibility, it is, I don't know if we will count that as, like, because this is the London. So for 1.0, we have the London fork, but there will be future forks. And it's not clear to me actually if we'll make that a 2.0 or a 3.0. That's a decision still to be made. I think the bigger reason for the 1.0 is that there's certain functions we want to capture and certain maturity we want in the EVM internals before we feel comfortable calling it a 1.0. And one of them is this fork capability that we have to build in still.
Cool. Thanks.
Hi, guys. This is Perry from DNews. I've got a question about the bridge aggregator that occurs at the end of Q3 23 and Q1 24. What does that exactly mean? What is a bridge aggregator in this context?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as we kind of decipher this visual asset, you'll see that this is considered as part of the bridge front end in terms of its classification. And the real intent at this time is that, you know, there are, of course, third-party bridging solutions that exist out there. We've, of course, had our own mix of experiences with entities such as multi-chain historically. However, there will be instances where the user may wish to decide which bridging solution they may wish to select. And we believe at this time that it would be valuable to give an experience to the end user inside of the bridge, wherein if they were to select the token of choice that they wish to bridge, being able to be informed of specific options in terms of cost and efficiency to accomplish that task. So you may have experienced this in other things such as swap functions inside of other sorts of applications, where you kind of get to choose your own destiny, as it were. And that's a lot of what that experience is intended to design. But it's also at this time that I'll mention that, of course, as we go from left to right on this roadmap, it, of course, gets much more open and creative with the liberties that we take as we look to Q1 of next year. I absolutely believe that the bridge aggregator adds value, but we'll make that call out that we're still working on defining the solutions for some of those things further to the right.
On a related question, recently, as in, I think, 2 days ago, yesterday, Shintai and Bullish both announced partnerships with Fireblocks. Is what you're doing a competitor or is complementary to Fireblocks and their network, where it essentially allows tokens to move between exchanges and various other platforms securely? Is this a different world? Are we talking about a different world, or is this something that this may connect to? Or help us with context for that, if you may. Thank you.
Sure. So I think that the core function of the Advanced Trustless Bridge is really to provide a non-third-party solution wherein you can bridge tokens into the EOS EVM. And there will, of course, be competing solutions that exist that may do things more efficiently or price effective or faster over time. This is more about enabling that functionality so that we can unlock the functionality of various dApps. In terms of where we stand, I don't think that we're actively pursuing of being hyper competitive with any other solutions in the space. Again, I think that the focus at this time is more about enablement of functionality. And again, just our awareness of some of the security risks that inherently come along with some third-party solutions. I don't know if anyone else on the call, such as Arig, has any other input to kind of provide to that, but that's kind of my two cents for now of where we're trying to head as the ENF, where we really aren't trying to be partisan or specifically competitive in any way, as opposed to enabling for the community and network.
So I'm not super familiar with Fireblocks. Just based on what they're talking about here, they talk about zero counterparty risk. They talk about direct custody. So you're in control of your private keys, but it sounds like there's still a private key involved, whether, you know, they as an entity are separate from the operators of the bridge. There is still an operator of bridge, it sounds like to me. I could be wrong about that. The thing that's different about the Trustless Bridge is there's no keys involved for securing the assets. The benefit is that because ES EVM is a contract on the ES blockchain, we could actually just have purely smart contracts negotiate the interaction between each other without having to have some intermediary, some third party holding keys somewhere. Even if it's very decentralized, you know, it could be using, I don't know what they're using, I don't know their model, but there are models out there that may use multi-sigs or threshold signatures or something to decentralize the keys and make it more secure, but still a custody solution. Whereas with Trustless Bridge, we don't need any keys because the tokens are held in contracts and sent via contracts. And essentially what we mean by trustless is you do not need any added trust compared to what you already trust. You're already implicitly trusting by using the EVM. By using the EVM, you're already trusting the code that implements the EVM engine in the smart contract. You're also trusting the overall EOS blockchain platform. So assuming, you know, like built on that base layer of trust, there's no additional trust needed to for the operation of the EVM. There's no keys held by the ENF that are needed to operate the ENF. There's the contracts that are deployed on accounts, but those accounts are secured by multi-sigs that are controlled by BPs, similar to other system contracts on the network.
Very good. Thank you. Those are great answers. I appreciate that.
Cool. Well, as the crickets slowly slide in here, I'll also mention that if you guys do ever have any feedback or questions around the EOS EVM project, we, of course, have a host of repos where you can submit issues, and you can always reach out to folks like myself directly for any sort of feature requests. We're really excited to continue to expose more of what we see coming for EOS EVM, especially as we start to identify some of those differentiating features where we can really not just exist as this standard, but perhaps find our niche inside of that ecosystem.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys, for this extra color commentary around this newly unveiled EOS EVM roadmap. That was great. All right. Moving on to our next story. What do we have? We've got Eve that's in Korea right now. Eve confirmed with me that no, he's not attending Fireside events when they're at 3 a.m., but he is taking the time to confirm that with me. But anyways, I think the event was happening just a couple hours ago. I'm going to share a couple links here in the chat. There was a nice interview here I found on Twitter, or I found, Martin found on Twitter, to be precise, about Eve and at Genzio. And this nice 15-minute interview. Looks like it's beautiful out there in Korea these days. And so nice to see Eve getting out there, sharing the story of EOS all over the place. And as well, coming up next week, Singapore Token 2049 is going on. Eve is going to be there, out there as well. So if you're there, you want to talk with the ENF, you want to have a meeting with Eve, reach out on Twitter, reach out to the rest of the team at the ENF. And yeah, I'm sure we'll see some of you out there. All right. Crickets from the crowd. I get it. I get the message. Moving on to our next story. Let me see here. I do see Daniel Keyes has joined us. Daniel Keyes, welcome to the fireside. Not sure if Daniel Keyes is available. I think may have some connection issues. He's going to restart. But we've got some big Pomelo Season 7 news to announce. The dates were alpha leaked last week, but they've been confirmed and some more details as well. Welcome back, Daniel.
Thank you. Sorry, I misclicked there trying to unmute myself.
And there you go.
I have a little bit of food in my mouth, so I'm just finishing. So give me one sec.
Sure, no problem. So I'm going to share some links in the meantime while Daniel gets ready. Just joined a couple minutes ago, just on time for the Pomelo segment. Let's see. So we've got
good timing.
Yeah, we got the tweet from the ENF announcing the news, as well as an article from Pomelo to go over.
Yeah, so we're lining up another exciting season, Pomelo Season 7. Application's going to open September 20th. And we will have two pools, both funded by the ENF this season. And this time it'll be a little simpler. We had four pools in Season 6. All various sizes and networks. This season, we're focusing all on EOS. And rather than, some of the feedback we heard last season was not enough money for EOS native, little confusing on how to qualify for GameFi. And so it's simpler this season. We're going to have two pools, $75,000 in the EOS native pool and $75,000 in the EOS EVM pool. So it should be a lot simpler for grant owners to understand how, you know, which pool do they fit in, and we have an equal amount of funds available in each of these pools. So I think it should be good for everybody. And I'm excited for application to open in, it's I think less than 2 weeks now. Where are we now? Oh, a little more than 2 weeks. Actually exactly 2 weeks.
That's right.
Where applications open. Looking forward to that, and going to be, you know, same Pomelo you know and love from previous seasons. We don't have any big new features this season. We've just kind of simplified the acceptance criteria for the matching pools.
And, all right, thanks, Daniel. Did anyone get the chance to read the article or hear the news before the fireside?
Check it out. Join if you haven't. And I think we talked about previously. I wasn't here when we shared some of the details about the feedback results from Season 6. So appreciate all the feedback we received there. Again, overwhelming support for multi-pool based on the feedback we received. Everyone loved that there is more than one pool. But again, the major feedback was nice to have a little clearer guidelines on how do I qualify for what pool. So hopefully that's been solved this season. And yeah, we'll hopefully make this a season to remember. We're still at the same time working on bounties. We had previously communicated we're aiming to launch before season 7. That's not going to be the case. We're going to be wrapping up sort of the, at least for the short term, the grants on EOS with season 7 and then launching bounties following the season. So stay tuned for more on that too.
All right. Good to hear about bounties. And good to hear about the nice matching pool for season 7, 150,000 total. I think that's very similar or the same as season 6. Yeah. And I definitely like the split of two pools. I think it's going to make for a good Pomelo season 7.
Yeah, last season, the same value from the EOS pools. But yeah, it spread over 3 pools last season. And we had the Everything EOS pool had $28,000 in it. So again, a big part of the Everything EOS pool had the most number of grants participating, but the least amount of funds. So obviously not a lot to go around for those participating in that pool. So hopefully that we, now with the only two pools and $75,000 in each of those pools, that's more than, the biggest pool last season was $65,000. This time, two pools of $75,000. So more to go around for everyone who participates in whichever pool they choose to participate in.
There you go. Awesome. Thanks, Daniel, for joining us, and thanks for sharing.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Before moving on to our next topic, I actually want to throw it back to our first topic about playzap.games. There's a GameFi Twitter Spaces going on next week, hosted by the EOS Network Foundation. So hopefully, those of you who want to learn more about playzap.games, hopefully we'll have the chance to hear more from them at the Twitter Spaces, and other guests as well will be present. So make sure to follow EOS Network Foundation on Twitter to be notified of these upcoming Twitter Spaces events. All right, next up, let's see what we have. Web IDE update. Is Nathan James around to give us some updates about what's going on with Web IDE? See him in the crowd. We've got an unmute, but no audio coming in. Oh, there we go. We got a couple successful tests.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me well?
We can hear you. Well, I don't think I would describe it as hearing you well, but we can hear you.
How about now?
Better. Much better.
All right.
It feels more calm.
Not as worried about if you can hear me. So we launched the EOS Web IDE recently, and it was lacking a couple of features. It also wasn't on the EOS Network domain. Now it's on ide.eosnetwork.com. It also has the ability to, so we've integrated WharfKit, and it has the ability to push to mainnet. You can now link up your Anchor wallet and push contracts directly to EOS mainnet. So you no longer have to install anything if you want to drop a single file or multi-file smart contract into the Web IDE and then deploy directly to mainnet. And this is really just the start for what we're doing for the education, the more simplistic education. So the next thing that I'm working on right now is a full stack C++ and Svelte plus WharfKit video tutorial, where it's going to be using the Web IDE, WharfKit, and all of that goodness to be able to create a contract, push it to mainnet, launched to Netlify probably in less than 20 minutes. And I think this is maybe the first time that we've ever had the capability of doing something so simple and so fast on EOS.
Well done. Sounds like you're excited for it. That means I'm excited for it. Is this also something you're going to be talking about on tomorrow's webinar, perhaps?
It's possible, just as one of the integrators of Wharf, but perhaps. I'm not sure yet. Maybe if it's a community question. It's not scheduled as something to talk about.
All right. What is scheduled to be talked about tomorrow in the webinar?
You'll have to come and find out. No, there's a. I'll give a little less teasing. So there's going to be an overview from Aaron, as well as diving a little bit deeper into what Wharf is. I think there's going to be a live demonstration of integration of WharfKit into a front end, and then there's also going to be a Q&A session. So hopefully we'll get some really good community questions.
All right, sounds great. Thanks for all these technical updates, Nathan. Glad to see you getting in there and being excited for these releases. All right, our next guest today on the Fireside. It's been a while since we've had him officially on the agenda. Patrick usually entertains us at the end of the show, but this time he's got some news he wants to share with everyone. Patrick, are you ready to join me on the Fireside?
Hey, Stefan, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Patrick?
Excellent, excellent. Something to share today, exciting.
All right. Welcome officially to the Fireside. What are you here to talk to us about today?
So there is Antelope Swiss Workshop 22 coming in the week of September 25 until September 29. And I will have during this workshop the pleasure to have a breakdown on the IFA platform with Dominic Thomas of IFA. Then we will have a Pomelo interview with Daniel Keyes for season 7, doing a breakdown also with all the exciting things that he has already explained before, but more in detail. We have also EOSBs, update number 8 of EOSBs about PodSum, that's a summary AI tool that we are using into the Antelope Swiss Workshop. So every video is I'm stamped by myself, but then it's give to Jesse of the Bees, and he's doing the podcast summary. That's a long version to read and a short version to read into a nice document with AI images of Mid Journey. And then also there is an MP3 just to listen. Where I take basically the content of PodSum and I put in Pictory.ai, and that generates a nice MP3 with AI voice of each of those interview. Then I have the UFI workshop with Maurice Vanegas again. That's begin again. There was a pause since last year, December 23rd. We were doing a pause. So now we are doing again the UFI workshop, very interesting about Web3, how is empowering the people into Nigeria, Uganda, that are using the Web3 tools of the UFI movement. And then we have an EOSDEN update with my fellow Vlad CAC, and also Lennar, where we do an update about the fact that we are soon, that's mean October, deploying EOSDEN on WAX blockchain. So we are ready and we will announce that during the episode. We will also showcase some new features to improve the platform. EOSDEN is a Web3 aggregator of solutions. Let's say dApps on EOS, but also on WAX, we will present something very interesting. And finally, there will be a video with Job Board by Mel Pierce, an interview about the RFP system that he has created. He will showcase what does it mean, how it works, very interactive videos. So that's for the Multimedia Web3 Week, we can say, 6 guests and maximum experience with the multimedia, and that will be on Nova Crypto YouTube channel in time. One video per day. Well, okay, so the 25, we have the job board video. We have also the EOS Den video. That's the 25. The 26, we have the EOS Biz update. The 27, we have Pomelo Season 7 explanation with Daniel Keys. 28, we have the UFI update. And finally, the 29, we have the IFA platform update with Dominic of IFA. So that's for the Antilopsis workshop. And just go on the tweet, and you have a nice little video presentation. And then you have just to subscribe to the YouTube Nova Crypto YouTube channel to not miss the video when the videos goes up. So just subscribe to the channel. So that's for the Antilopsis workshop, Stefan.
All right, Patrick. Thank you for that great description. Let's take a moment to appreciate Swiss workshop number 22. That's awesome. You've been doing these for 4 years now, I think.
Yeah, I have begun with EOS.io Swiss workshop first when that was branded EOS.io protocol. And then I have moved in April 21 with Antilope Swiss workshop. And yeah, that's already the 22, but that's include also all the meetups, physical meetups that I was doing when I was an EOS Nation ambassador. So nice epoch, nice epopy. That was a big adventure to be EOS Nation ambassador at the base layer. Very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Great to see you around still continuing on with these Antelope workshops. All right. Now, I know you had more than just this Antelope workshop to talk about. Did you want to go into your next topic?
Yeah, we are doing a bounty contest on EOS with EOS Den and Job Board. Basically, Job Board is Web2. There is no connection with the blockchain. And EOS Den is totally on-chain. So that's a Web2, Web3 collaboration, Job Board and EOS Den. And that's last on October 6th. You can enter into this bounty contest at any time. And basically, there are 4 incentives to receive something during this bounty. First of all, you have to fulfill the steps 1 until 4. There are 4 steps. That's a 4 steps process. So the first steps, you have just to log in on EOS Den, register as a user to become a user on EOS Den. If you are on Pomelo, you are automatically verified by EOS Den because you have a Pomelo achievement badge. So that will recognize you automatically verified. If you are on Eden on EOS and you have a soulbound token by participating into the election of Eden on EOS, you're also automatically verified. For the other users, we have an MSIG, the EOS Den team, and we have just to verify the users manually. We have CIC, that is the community manager of EOS Den, that is doing a fantastic job by checking, doing the watchdog, and going on Twitter, analyzing the last tweets of the user, the bio, and also the transaction on chain to see if he's really a user that is very involved with the EOS ecosystem. Here into this fireside chat, it's sure we have people that are very, very knowledgeable, very qualified. So you are welcome to join this bounty because you will be qualified user, genuine user. You will be able to do exactly this bounty contest. So what is the bounty contest exactly? After the step one and two, you receive this $5 worth of NCO token. Those NCO token for Nova Crypto token are going into your EOS account. And basically, what you can do with those NCO token, either you hold them because that's a utility token on the EOS DEN platform and you will use that for later on, or maybe you can swap them by going on DeFiBox and swap them. Then you have to fulfill the step three and four. Basically, you have to log in on Jobboard. You have to say that you are an EOS DEN user. You have to give your EOS account. And then you have to fulfill the actions that Mel Pierce of Jobboard has specified as an affiliate. He has put some actions to perform. And he has put also the possibility to check that the users have really done the actions by making some tweet of their job that they have post. There is a program very interesting. So for that, we select all the people that have made those actions and we randomize. We take the three randomized users that completes the step three and four and they receive $50 worth of NCO. Then we do the same for two randomized users and they receive 100 NCO. And there is a last incentive. You can have additional NCO by rating and reviewing Jobboard on EOS DEN because the platform EOS DEN is about an audit system where you can rate the solution that are on listed on EOS DEN. Here is Jobboard. And you can give a review, a thoughtful review. Also, I want to say better, a genuine review. And you receive for that to do rating and review NCOs. And at the end of this program on October 6th, there will be a proof of the winners that will be totally visible on chain and that will be also tweeted. So all the results will be on chain into the smart contract of EOS DEN into a table, exactly all on chain. So that's not just a UI and no connection with the blockchains. That's totally connected with the EOS mainnet. And we will do the same bounty later on for WAX. We have also the intention to go with EOS DEN on UX, EOS DEN on Telos, basically on all the Antelope Coalition blockchains and into this Antelope networks. So that's the picture. So EOS DEN is not just audit system, is also bounty system that's generate bounty with affiliate that are not on chain, that are closed source, that's manual, the actions to verify. And if a solution has a smart contract and actions on chain, EOS DEN will automatically check that if you are open source, because we accept open source solution, closed source solution, partly open source. So I encourage the people to go into this program. You can go as an affiliate on EOS DEN, because an affiliate is also a user. Or you can go as a normal user that just want to rate and review and that has no solution to list on. That's the idea behind. And yeah, so if you have a question, welcome.
All right. Thanks, Patrick. That was a lot of information. probably are some questions. How can people reach you if they have questions outside the show?
Oh, there is Telegram, EOSDEN, where we have all organized, like in Pomelo, we have different topics. Ask me anything or about this program. There is a CIC that is there, and he will answer very polite and very professional. So the people can ask their question there. They can also contact me directly to my Telegram, so NovaCryptoLTD. That's my handle on Telegram. Yeah, basically very open to answer to all the questions about this program that just started yesterday. We started yesterday, and there are already some users coming. That's good. Basically, we are doing a laboratory of this bounty with EOSDEN to do some, you know, some testing. And then we will see what is the return, and we can maybe pivot if something has to be pivot and improve. So, yeah.
All right. All right. Thanks a lot, Patrick.
And you're welcome.
Thanks for joining the Fireside.
Thank you very much, Stefan.
Oh, yeah. So, Mel here.
Hey, Mel.
Hello, Mel.
Hello there. Yeah, I'd just like to say, I think we should all thank Patrick for all the work he puts in. He's putting so much effort in and work in for the EOS community. I think I encourage everyone to sort of get involved and help each other. We should collaborate. Well, we help each other.
Yeah, lovely, Mel. I love you. Yeah,
I encourage everyone to get involved and help with EOS Den, which I'm an affiliate, obviously, as well. So, yeah, if people can help each other within the community, I'll encourage that as much as possible. So, yeah, if get involved with the bounty. As you can see, there's $100 to be made for the top prize. But regardless of that, I think we should be helping each other, whatever, even if it's for zero. But that's just my 10 cents worth. And as I say, thanks, Patrick, for all the hard work he's done.
Thank you, Mel, to you also for the fantastic collaboration that we have. That's a pleasure to work with you. Thank you.
Thank you, mate. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
I had to throw one of those in there, of course. All right. Thank you. Thanks, Patrick. Thanks, Mel. Is that the sound of Eve checking in from Korea?
Seems like it, yes.
Hey, what's up? Wow. What are you doing at the Fireside today?
Somebody decided to message me in the middle of the night, and then they grabbed my attention, and I can't fall asleep anymore.
There you go. You miss all the shots take, right? So I just take shots at things.
I guess.
Sometimes they land, and now we've landed apparently. Today. There you go.
Apparently. Yeah, so I'm in Seoul right now. I'm not sure what time it is. I think it's right before 5 a.m. If it's right before 4 p.m. for you guys. I'm actually on my way to Hong Kong in a few hours. So I've been here for Korea Blockchain Week. There's a few interviews that came out. If you check the Twitter, I think one was posted yesterday. I think the ENF account actually re-amplified it, and so you should be able to check that out. I also did an interview that I imagine will come out maybe in a week or two with Crypto Weiser, and that should come out as a written article. While I was here, I had a bunch of meetings, met with applications, attended some events. I gave a panel discussion yesterday on gaming. I'm not sure if that is out yet, or if somebody wants to jump in, either Liam, Brendan, Zach, if you guys know, but there's a Game Ascend panel that I attended at yesterday. So I'm not sure when that comes out, if it's not already out. But yeah, it's been pretty good. Korea Blockchain Week this time around is really interesting. So last year, I wasn't able to attend. It was a little bit earlier in the year. I think it was mid-August or so. And it seems like this year, there are more attendees. But what's interesting is the main event itself, I find, had less things. And there were more side events. So I've attended
four different sign events. I think I landed in Seoul after 20 something hours worth of flights, and then I attended a side event right away. It was called the Probably Nothing Night. I shared some information on Twitter about that. Token Pocket was there, and there were a few other EOS people. For example, Crypto Dynasty, one of the longest running games on EOS, they were there as well. So we caught up on that. Caught up with them. I got some information and some way forwards with them. And then from there, it's just been one event after the next. It's been pretty good. As I mentioned, now I'm heading out to Hong Kong in a few hours. When I land right away, we've got Dafeng and I will be meeting there. And we've got a few meetings already lined up, essentially right after we land. Meeting with VCs, mainly in Hong Kong. We're meeting with Invest Hong Kong again, because they've been sharing some people, making some introduction. Cyberport, because I believe we shared, it's not official yet, but we did apply for their incubation program, and as far as we know, we did get in. We're just, I guess, finalizing paperwork and such, but that should be pretty interesting. And then it's just meeting after meeting Hong Kong. So there's no event in particular. There was just space between Korea Blockchain Week and Token 2049. So after Hong Kong, which I leave on Sunday, then I'm going to head out to Token 2049, and then events. And same thing, I'm speaking on a few panels there. I'm giving a keynote. Interesting topics right now. A lot of them are about RWAs, so real world assets. So gaming still very big, and then real world assets pretty big. I think those are the two main topics that people are interested about and discussing right now. So kind of the two trends that we're seeing. One thing that was pleasantly surprising is that most people knew of the Japan listing, and it's a pretty big deal. Seems like more people had applied, or a lot of people had applied, and they've all been rejected. And so we got a lot of kudos for that, and people were really excited about that. So that generated actually a lot of buzz that I didn't imagine from just random people who came up and started talking about that. Same thing with media who wanted to discuss that. So pretty cool. And other than that, I'm drawing a blank. It's like 5 a.m. now, so I think I'll leave it at that. Unless you have anything else to ask, Steph.
No, that was a great update. Thanks for sharing, Eve, and thanks for jumping on the far side. Since you were up anyways, might as well jump on the far side.
I was up anyways, yes.
All right, well, sounds exciting. We'll let you go get ready for your travels and next blockchain adventures.
I'm not going to blame it on Steph. So as everybody knows, I've shared this before. I think it's funny enough now. Steph shouldn't feel bad at this point. I typically have jet lag. And as I get older, my jet lag gets worse. So I usually wake up around 4 a.m. or so for the first week. So I was checking my phone anyways, but then that message attracted me. And then I joined the fireside. So I won't put the blame on Steph at all.
There you go. Thanks, Eve. All right. Moving on to our next guest. Let's see. Is Chase in the house? I see him in the crowd here. Chase from Challenge DAC. Are you ready to join me on stage here for the fireside?
Yeah. How's it going? And how am I coming through?
Hey, Chase. Coming in through very clear. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. So thanks for having us on. Thanks for having me on. For those of you who don't know, Challenge DAC is a smart contract creation and distribution and reward system platform. So basically what that means is we let people create their own smart contracts and put rewards in them. So it's an application that's live in Android and Apple, and people are able to go on and create a smart contract challenge. And pretty much what that looks like is you're able to go in, we make it really simple for people to use. You go in, you can write instructions on what you'd like people to do. You can enter reward tokens as a reward. So you can use EOS tokens, Telos tokens. We have a few other tokens too. And from there, people are able to submit proof of what they've done below, and you can reward them for doing that. And you can create challenges or you can participate in challenges. We've distributed a lot of crypto over the application the past few years. And popular things that people use it for so far has been sharing music. So we've had people who do music come on the app and give out crypto for people to share their music, sharing social media posts, and content creation has been popular. But we think the most popular stuff is yet to come. So we're excited to see different ways people are using the application. And we think there's a lot of opportunities to be able to use it in the future. And we've been on the network for 5 years. So over the course of this 5 years, we've learned a lot. And we're happy to work with ENF on a grant to put out some of our smart contract functions in the Dart language. So we our smart contract functions where we're able to let people transfer tokens in and out of an application, be able to distribute tokens in the application. We've been working on this for years, so we're excited about being able to open source it and put it out where other developers, other app creators can use it. So I think it's there's some great stuff in there for people who are looking to build Web3 applications. And also we're going to use part of the funds to issue challenges and give out tokens for people who create content about the community. So people who create educational content, we're going to have a part of the funds go to that too. So we're excited about what's to come. And if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
All right. Thanks, Chase, for coming on. And happy to hear that you were able to get a grant in order to open source some of the work that you've been doing over the last couple of years. That sounds great for the community.
Yes, definitely. I think it's a lot of different projects would be able to use these different things we've been working on. So we're excited about it.
Excellent. I dropped a couple of links here in the chat, linking to your site, challengedapp.io, as well as your Twitter and even the Grant Framework application. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Chase, and come back soon with more updates on what you're working on.
Will do. Thank you, guys.
All right. All right, breaking news this week. Big news in the world of Antelope NFTs. Wombat has acquired Atomic Hub. So Atomic Hub is a platform for NFTs on EOS, on WAX, etc. Recently, there was news that this platform was insolvent. Well, yesterday was announced that Wombat has acquired them. So that's pretty big news, in my opinion. Glad to see that Atomic Hub is going to stay in the hands of a capable team, a team such as Wombat. They've been really, really one of the shining examples on EOS, to be honest. Their wallet, their gaming platform, their token integration on EOS and across other chains as well, really showcases some of the power of building on EOS. So good news in that sense that Wombat is the team that acquired Atomic Hub. But other than that, was kind of surprised to learn that this morning. So obviously this is pretty big news for the WAX community that is much heavier into the NFT scene than EOS. But still, I use Atomic Hub all the time. I'm sure many of you do as well on EOS. And I'm sure many of you have tried Wombat also. So I shared the news here that came from the WAX blog if you want to learn more. There's all sorts of other news as well included in that update, but this was a pretty big piece of news that I wanted to share with everyone. Post came from WAX. That's right. Maybe I misspoke. This post is from WAX and is about a Wombat taking over or acquiring Atomic Hub. I'm not sure about the details of what that means exactly. There's not that many details in the post at this time. I don't know if anyone else had any other insights to share about that, but I'm sure we'll learn more soon. Actually, I reached out to the guys at Wombat earlier this morning, immediately trying to get them on the Fireside, of course. I don't care if I have to wake them up. You know, I'll send those messages out to get great guests on the Fireside show. And they later replied that they would like to join, but not this week. Apparently, it's been a bit hectic for them these last 24 hours, but they said that they'll try to join perhaps next week. So watch out for that. Actually got a couple of big guests lined up next week. Might be a big show. So at this point, that's all we know, but we'll probably learn more soon. All right, last couple topics here. We got some Wharf progress updates for August from the team at WharfKit. Aaron, I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add here, but I'm going to share the link to the blog post at least and encourage people to go check that out if you want to learn more about the latest on Wharf. Seems like Aaron is satisfied with me just sharing the link there. So we'll leave it at that. And finally, last story of the day, some EOS meme contest going on right now. $10 up for grabs. Create a meme, share it, win some money. Why not? A couple more days until the contest ends. Check out at EOS memes account. All right, that's it for the list of topics on my side. Looks like it's just a bit past 4 p.m. That means the August raffle tickets minting has stopped. We should be distributing the prizes soon enough. Haven't heard from Yana yet. She's probably furiously clicking away, trying to make that happen in the background. Hopefully, I'm not stressing her too much with this shout out. Other than that, if you guys got some other updates you wanted to share, some off-topic banter, other topics you wanted to talk about, now's the time. Jump on stage. Yana confirming those raffle prizes are on their way to an EOS account near you. Soon. If you haven't signed up for your pop token of the day, make sure to go in there, sign up for your pop token. Of course, you can only sign up for a pop token if you're with us in the voice chat during the Fireside or during these other events hosted by other community members. We're always kind of tinkering around with the bot. If there's something that doesn't work, you don't get your prizes, you can't register, something like that, shoot me a message. I'll help you out.
Don't forget tomorrow, ENF office hours. We'll do better about communicating these in advance, but just kind of getting things off the ground here. EOS office hours, ENF office hours, 11 a.m. Eastern, 1500 UTC, right here in Discord. So just keep an eye on that voice chat. If you ever see anyone hanging out in there too, it may surprise you. You never know.
the link.
a link?
To this office hour.
There's no link.
We have a direct link. It's right here. In a voice chat near you tomorrow.
Perfect.
If you're in this call, you've found the spot.
1500 UTC.
Thank you, Dev. Exactly. Join the EOS Network Discord. Yeah. Beautiful community. We love EOS. And keep in touch with Brandon Lovejoy, the only one. And ask questions.
Or play soccer, maybe.
Oh, God.
Why not?
Drew Joy's been away. Sounds like Drew Joy's been away. I wonder what you've been doing, Drew. He says, just noticed Pop Token registrations are on chain. Looks like it's been that way for a few months, but I guess I'm a little slow on the update. The actions of the Pop Token registration and distribution, etc., is all logged on chain in case the bot goes down. We can always go look on chain to see who was claiming what Pop Tokens at what time. Patrick wants to play poker. Yeah, I'll play poker, Patrick. What are the stakes? What's the game? 5-card PLO? EOS Office Hours will also have an event, official event tag within Discord. Once it's a bit more steady, I guess.
Excellent.
Yes.
I just want to say we are 14,562 members. So we are fast at 15,000 members. So... Huh? You know what you have to do? Join the Discord of this EOS community.
All right.
The soundboard is in a loop.
Anyone else have any profound thoughts they want to share? Pretty early.
I just want to say that we are a fantastic community. We are on EOS. We believe in EOS. We love EOS. We breathe EOS. We dream EOS. We, you know what? Join us here because you are the best community on chain. Yeah, baby.
Well said, Patrick.
I know. Thank you.
Well, I guess we're going to wrap it up there. Last call for off-topic banter. Or else it's go EOS and we'll do it again next week.
Hallelujah!
You mean you woke me up for like a short fireside?
Yeah. Well, we know you have a plane to catch. So we don't want to make you miss the plane. Missing your sleep, that's one thing, but missing your plane, that's serious.
So in case people start sending bad messages to Steph, Steph and I have known each other for like 22, 23 years. Don't message him with bad stuff. It's clearly banter between him and I.
And I'm happy to wake him up. If he gets easily woken up, that's on him. I don't feel bad for that. All right, that's it for today. Thanks for joining on Discord. Thanks for joining on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Leave the likes, subscribe, share with friends, and let's do it again next week. Until that time, let's go.
Oh, yeah. Oh.